Will you turn, please, to the book of Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, with God's word before us? We'll unite together in prayer, and as we do so, let us pray that God will take his word and he will write it upon our hearts as we meditate and think upon it. Our eternal God, we come to these words almost with a sense of fear. The subject is not one which we deal with lightly, nor is it one that appeals to us to think about. But we do pray, Lord, that as we ask the question concerning eternity, that you'll burn the question upon hearts and cause especially those who are out of Christ to realize they are not here upon this scene of time forever. Eternity must be faced. We pray, Lord, that they shall no longer trifle, but rather they will realize the matter is serious. The matter of their soul demands and must command attention. May this night their heart be so challenged by the Holy Spirit that they will be constrained upon to take hold of Christ. Do answer prayer. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Grant power with which to serve thee. We pray, Lord, that as we look into this passage, thou wilt take its teaching and its message and write it upon each heart in this service. Fill with thy Holy Spirit and grant power. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You can see from what we have said already and from the reading of the passage that Jeremiah is seeking to understand how it is that as he looks around us, the wicked seem to prosper. And yet, when he thinks of himself, he understands that he is known by God. In verse 3, O Lord, thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me, tried mine heart towards thee. So he recognizes while he is under the eyes of God, under the knowledge of God, it's as if he's asking the question, how is it that the wicked seem to be so happy? In verse 2, it says, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. And so they seem to get on. And so this is the problem that Jeremiah has. The answer of God, however, to Jeremiah, is that Jeremiah, you're living in a wicked age. If you look at verse 5, and think of it like this, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And what the Lord means to suggest to Jeremiah is this, Jeremiah, you think, as it were, today it's difficult. You think you're having trouble now, and you just reflect when we say that upon the life of Jeremiah, the trouble that this man had. Do you remember on one occasion he said, I will no more speak in the name of the Lord. Why? Because he realized that it was contentious. He realized he was living in a land where many rejected the word of God, didn't want to listen to him. In fact, of course, he was cast into a pit and literally, we could say up to his waist in mud, there he lay because people did not want to listen to what he had to say. Princes and people in authority despised his message. And as Jeremiah contemplates this, his heart is full here, trying to understand all this. But God is saying, hold on, Jeremiah. You think, as it were, today is difficult? Ahead lie greater troubles. And so you have that question that the Lord says in verse 5, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan, when things get much worse. Now, there's a message here, first of all, for God's people. And I think we do well to stop here and consider this. I have a serious topic that I want to deal with tonight, but just to keep things in context, there is an application of this. We live in a difficult age, and I know I hear the praying of God's people, and it grieves us greatly when we look out upon our land and we see sin promoted in our land as never before. We see things that we never thought possible, and yet it's happening today. And oftentimes, I hear God's people say, "How shall we do? What about bringing up the child in the midst of all of this?" Well, we have to realize something. God is still God. And the power of God to enable that we be kept, and that even our homes and families be kept, is still the same. It may be a very difficult age and a very wicked age, but let us not feel as though it's impossible. Let us not feel as somehow the wicked have every advantage and we have none. God is outlining here that he will in his time deal with the wicked, and he will give even to his people a time of refreshment in days ahead. You will see that in the later part of the passage. I don't want to go down too far there, but you read the passage and you'll see that God stretches out his hand, as it were, to Jeremiah, reminding him that there's days of great judgment that lie ahead for the wicked, and days of blessing that lie ahead for his people. Let us never despair. That's the thought that I would leave with you. So in the midst of all of your duties as a child of God, do not despair at the wickedness that rises up around us, at that contentment that the wicked seem to have in their deeds. The day of judgment is approaching. There's another sense, of course, in which often these words are applied. And even though it is somewhat, as it were, out of the context, nonetheless, I think there's a sense in which we can really still use the word in this way. It's on the subject of death. Our hymn writers often use the image of Jordan as passing over into death. Well, there's a sense in which I believe we can take these words and use it in this way, that as we think about the difficulties that there are in encountering death, oftentimes that causes consternation. But this phrase of Scripture, I think, might help us. "If in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" And there's a sense in which I think we can give expression here to this idea of how will we face the difficulties that come with death. There are many people, and they find it difficult to deal with life and the affairs of life. But there's a sense in which we could ask this: if life is difficult, what about that occasion when you have to deal with death and you have to face death? And that's an important topic. It is something which the Word of God constantly reminds us about. In fact, life reminds us about it constantly.
It is not something we are to live in ignorance of.
In part, this passage came to my mind because of events over this past week, even past 2 weeks. I have conducted many funerals this year already. In fact, in talking with the undertakers and gravediggers, they are very busy. One gravedigger said that he and a few of his colleagues, they worked together, dug 250 graves, and this is in a fairly local area, this year already. I've come from a home this weekend where a man in his early 60s simply dropped dead in front of his wife. You've had an experience here in this congregation. I know our brother here tonight has conducted a funeral this week of a similar incident. Death is ever present with us, and it has to be faced. And the Word of God constantly reminds us about the fact of it. And therefore, if we take this line here, "How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan," and use it to illustrate, if you like, the matter of death, and ask you the question, how will you face death? It's a subject that life itself demands that you give attention to, but more importantly, the Word of God demands that you give attention to it. Go back through the Word of God. There's Adam and Eve. They sinned, transgressed. They were put out of the garden. What was the sentence? Thou shalt surely die. It wasn't too long before they were burying their boy, Abel, in the ground. They didn't know what death was, but it wasn't too long before they found out, here is what death is. Here is the reality of what happens when one dies. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of it in the New Testament. You remember when you have that man, the rich fool, of course, he thought he had much goods laid up for many years. His answer to life was, I'm going to build more barns, greater barns of much goods, of many years yet ahead. But God came that night and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? And throughout the Word of God, we have this constant reminder about the fact of death and what to do in the light of it. The world will fill your attention, and it will fill your mind with life and the deeds of life. Tell you, do not think about death. But the Word of God will remind you, you have to face up to it. How will you do? How will you do? And then, of course, we could be very pointed about the question, because it is individual, isn't it? How wilt thou do? How wilt thou do? It is not someone else that is being spoken about. It is us as individuals. When death comes to our door, we won't be able to, as it were, brush it aside. We won't be able to say, well, not today. Let me give you an incident. I'll not identify names, but a man, he was in his home. He said to his wife, I think I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to die. And with that, he fell to the ground and died. He could not avoid it. He could not say, no, today is not the right time. This was it. And so, as we think about the subject of death, our death, remember, it is something that is going to happen to us. There is a day when we must pass through these dark waters. How wilt thou do? Thou do. Let me point out also here. We must face up to how we're going to face that day. Will it be a day that fills us with dread and fear? There is a fearful thing to be faced when we face death. There is no question. No one wants to leave this scene of time, as it were, naturally. My grandfather, my dad often speaks about him. He was a believer, and he often said, well, believers, they're looking forward to glory, but they don't seem to be in any hurry to get there. I remember an old lady in, to give a kind of balance to that, in Liverpool, and I used to go and see her. She lived in a block of flats in Liverpool, and she lived in the lower floor. She was getting on and getting old, and every time I went in to see her, I would say, well, Miss Kelly, how are you today? And she would answer, I'm still here. I don't know why he doesn't come and take me, but I'm still here. She was looking forward to glory. But in general terms, we're in no hurry to leave the scene of time because there is something fearful about death. But the question here is, how will you face this? How will you face this great event? We could look at those who faced it with despair. We could quote from history those who have passed through these waters, and they did so fearfully, no confidence in their soul that all was well for eternity. Their souls shuddered at the prospect of leaving this scene of time. But I want to take you to those who faced this day with confidence. I think of Paul the Apostle, and he spoke of that day when he would leave this scene of time. And in 2 Corinthians and the 5th chapter, let me read to you the words, and I trust that as we read them, some will know them and be able perhaps even to quote along with me. But listen to what Paul says. Therefore, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 5, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're thinking here of how one will face the day of death. And Paul here is speaking of this day. But he says this, we are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let me give you an Old Testament reference. Over in the book of Job, we learn of this man in the 19th chapter of the book of Job. And let me read to you some of the closing verses. We're seeking to establish. Here are individuals who, as they face death, they do so assuredly, with confidence. Listen to the closing words of Job 19. As Job says here, I know, verse 25, that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What a confidence to have in the face of death. To know, as Paul said, that when death comes, it will be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. As Job here says, he knows that his Redeemer liveth, and he has a confidence that he'll behold him in all his glory. Here are those who face this day with a certainty. It is not always the case that a believer will come to the gates of death and they will be able to express what it is in their heart. Sometimes When the Lord calls home, it's so sudden, their eyes close as quick as that, and they're gone. But if you were to ask them 5 minutes before they died, if death were to come, are you ready? They would say, yes, I'm confident that when my soul leaves this body, all will be well. That's the thought I'm leaving with you here. The question is, how will you face these dark waters of death? I've given you some examples of believers and scripture of those who face death, and they do so confidently. And the question will come back to you, how will you face? How will you face death? Will you, sadly, and it would be sad if you were to say this, say, you know, I don't really want to consider this. It's too painful. It would cause me great consternation. It would cause me great fear. We have spoken already. Scripture will have you think about this, not live in ignorance of it. Scripture will bring this matter before you. You have a soul. It's going to face eternity. It's heaven or hell. It's a soul at peace with God and with Christ, which is far better, as Paul indicated, or it will be a soul eternally lost. Don't be like the world that fills its mind with the events of life and says, well, I'll satisfy myself with these things. They're going to face a judgment of God. Indeed, this chapter is dealing with that. Jeremiah is having his problem answered. He's wondering, how are they so happy? But they're not going to be happy. There is going to be a destruction that will come upon them. And so it will be for you. If you die without Jesus Christ, will you face up to this? There is a confidence to be had in the face of death. Frightening as it is, nonetheless, there is a peace and there is a security for the soul. And of course, the question then demands answering. How can you have this? How can you face death and look beyond it, realizing that while it is a great enemy, it is a defeated enemy. It is an enemy that has no teeth, if you like, for you. I think of the words here of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to John's Gospel, chapter 11. I have gone to this chapter many, many times now in homes. And I have found for my own heart, and I trust for those to whom I read it, it has been a great comfort and a great blessing. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Martha when she comes to him at the scene of Lazarus' death. In verse 24, Martha expresses this, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What wonderful words are here. That through a faith in Christ, and of course, that embraces all that Christ is, his person, his work, which he fulfilled upon the cross of Calvary in taking upon his own body our sins and shedding his own blood, this belief, this faith in Christ embraces him. It says, I believe in Christ, all that he is, his atoning work, his person, who he is. I believe he is the Lord. I believe that only He can forgive and cleanse me from my sin. Now, those who exercise such belief and faith, the Lord Jesus Christ here says, He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And the Savior here, in a beautiful phrase, turns to Martha to, as it were, get her to contemplate this. Believest thou this? But she acknowledged it and said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Here is how to face this great matter of death. With a faith that rests and lies in Jesus Christ. Here is where the soul has hope. Not some false hope, but a sure and a certain hope that is anchored upon Jesus Christ. It's steadfast. Here's how to face death. Knowing that in Jesus Christ, our soul is eternally safe, forgiven, pardoned, at peace with God, a child of God. And when the moment of death comes, the soul is absent from the body, but present with the Lord. Would you not want to have that hope, that security, that certainty? Let me take these words and apply them to the difficult circumstances of death using the pictorial language. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? There is a confidence to have. That confidence lies in Christ and in Christ alone in the face of death. If you're not saved, will you flee to this ground? The ground of Christ. Call upon Him to save you so that your soul will be safe, eternally safe. May God take His word and may He fix it to your heart. May you come to Christ. May you come to Christ tonight. May the Lord bless His word tonight.